be with you.
And also with you.
We begin today with the words printed in our bulletin. Please join me. This is the day the Lord has made.
Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
And now I invite everyone who can stand to stand now, knowing that if you cannot stand, the church stands with and for you. Continue today with the confession and forgiveness. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God, our Creator, our Protector, our wellspring of life.
Amen.
Trusting that God receives our words and the meditation of our hearts, let us confess our sins. Merciful God,
you speak blessing and compassion into the world. Forgive us for the way we act with judgment, cruelty, or indifference. We ignore the needs of our neighbors. We resist your call to impose injustice. We give in to scarcity and fear. We assume the worst about one another. Cleanse us from our faults and release us from their grasp. Show us your loving kindness. Restore our hearts and repair your world, that we may live in Christ's ways. Amen.
God proclaims these words of assurance. Do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. In Christ, you are forgiven. In the Spirit, you are made free. Refreshed by the waters of mercy, live anew as beloved children of God.
Amen.
Now the feast and celebration of creation sings for joy to the God of life and love and freedom, praise and glory forevermore. Now is the feast of the Lamb once slain, whose blood freedom united us to be one great people of God. Now the feast and celebration of creation sings for joy to the God of life and love and freedom.
May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Almighty and ever-living God, increase in us the gifts of faith, hope, and love, that we may obtain what you promise.
Make us love what you command, through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord.
Amen. And now we invite our children to come forward for a children's sermon. How are you guys today? Well, today we're gonna talk about love. Can anyone define, tell me what love is? That's a hard one, isn't it?
Yeah.
Hard to explain what it is. So we're going to play a little game. We're going to play what love is game. And we're going to define it by words, what love is and what love is not. So, my friends, I've got a hat with a bunch of words. We got to kind of do this quickly. So we are not here. We can go home in a decent hour. But someone take a word. Take a word. What does it say?
Hopeless.
Hopeless. Okay, well, you hold it. Don't cheat. Don't peek. Okay, it's hopeless.
Hey.
Is that is a love word or is not a love word?
It's not.
A not a love word. Okay.
Stop looking.
What's the next? Whoops. Just not working. Oh, I got a volunteer. Oh, that'd be good. Okay. Hopeless is not a love word. Okay. Here. Pick.
Pick.
Okay. Whoops. Okay. Here we go. What word do we got?
Keeps going.
Is keeps going, does that define what love is or what love is not?
Is.
Okay. We're going to put that in the is column. What's the next word?
Honest.
Is that what love is or is not?
It is.
Is. Okay. Okay, thank you. Impatient.
Is not.
No. Not? Not what love is? Well, we got a whole bunch of other words, but let me, you can put this up there. Thank you. But Paul tells us in our reading today what love is. And this is how Paul describes love. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrong. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices in the truth. It always protects. It always trusts. It always hopes. It always perseveres.
Keeps going.
Keeps going, that's right. So friends, when we are told to love God and our neighbor as ourselves, these are all the things that means to love. So let us pray now. And on the count of three, we're going to bring our hands together. One, two, three. And repeat after me. Dear God.
Dear God.
Thank you for loving us.
Thank you for loving us.
Thank you that we can love others.
Thank you that we can love others.
Amen.
Amen.
And you guys, you go to Sunday school.
Let's go to Sunday school, Charlie. You come in?
Good morning. On the fourth Sunday after Epiphany, our first reading is from Jeremiah chapter 1. Hear now the word. Now the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I consecrated you. I appointed you a prophet to the nations. Then I said, Lord God, truly I do not know how to speak, for I am only a boy. But the Lord said to me, Do not say I am only a boy, for you shall go to all to whom I send you, and you shall speak whatever I command you. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you to deliver you, says the Lord. Then the Lord put out his hand and touched my mouth, and the Lord said to me, Now I have put my words in your mouth. See, today I appoint you over nations and over kingdoms to pluck up and down and to pull down, to destroy and to overthrow, to build and to plant. Holy wisdom, holy word.
Thanks be to God.
The psalm may be found on page 4. Psalm 71, I will begin. In you, O Lord, I have taken refuge. Let me never be put to shame.
In your righteousness, deliver me and set me free. Incline your ear to me and save me.
Be my strong rock, a castle to keep me safe. You are my crag and my stronghold.
Deliver me, my God, from the hand of the wicked, from the clutches of the evildoer and the oppressor.
For you are my hope, O Lord God, my confidence since I was young.
I have been sustained by you ever since I was born. From my mother's womb, you have been my strength. My praise shall always be of you.
Our second reading is 1 Corinthians. Hear now the word. If I speak in the tongues of mortals and of angels, but do not have love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give away all my possessions, and if I hand over my body so that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is not envious or boastful or arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice in wrongdoing, but rejoices in the truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. But as for prophecies, they will come to an end. As for tongues, they will cease. As for knowledge, it will come to an end. For we know only in part, and we prophesy only in part. But when the complete comes, the partial will come to an end. When I was a child, I spoke like a child. I thought like a child. I responded like a child. When I became an adult, I put an end to childish ways. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then we will see face to face. Now I know only in part, then I will know fully, even as I have been fully known. And now faith, hope, and love abide, these three, and the greatest of these is love. Holy wisdom, holy word.
Thanks be to God.
To say to them, today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing. And all spoke well of him and were amazed at the gracious words that came from his mouth. They said, is not this Joseph's son? He said to them, doubtless you will quote to me this proverb. Doctor, cure yourself. And you will say, do here also in your hometown the things that we have heard you did at Capernaum. And he said, truly I tell you, no prophet is accepted in the prophet's hometown. But the truth is, there were many widows in Israel in the time of Elijah, when the heavens were shut up for 3 years and 6 months, and there was a severe famine over all the land, yet Elijah was sent to none of them except to a widow at Zarephath in Sidon. There were also many lepers in Israel at the time of the prophet Elijah, and none of them were cleansed except Naaman the Syrian. When they heard this, all in the synagogue were filled with rage, They got up, drove him out of the town, and led him to the brow of the hill on which their town was built, so that they might hurl him off. But he passed through the midst of them and went on his way. The Gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Well, friends, I didn't know we'd live in an age where mercy was so controversial. And before I say more, let us remind ourselves that the gospel is an inward call of our own personal transformation. Let us be gracious and remember that Jesus tells us always to take the plank out of our own eye first before looking at the eye of our neighbor. But there were two acts of mercy that have occurred. Two acts that have been met with everyone getting upset. The first act, of course, was a pardon for a whole lot of prisoners, and everyone got upset at the act of mercy. And then we had an act of mercy from a bishop pleading for mercy. And yes, once again, everybody got upset. There's even a House bill, which would be the first time in our nation's history that Congress is attempting to condemn and silence a minister. And my point here is not to ask a moral question about which act of mercy was moral, or to endure the nuanced conversation that we would have to do to try and piece this all together. I bring it forward to ask a simple question of us all. Why is mercy so controversial? And the answer to that, I think, is that we always don't like it when the person who receives mercy is someone we perceive that doesn't deserve it. If you receive mercy but haven't earned it somehow, then we get all upset. And if, friends, if right now you're a little uncomfortable, then I want to say, welcome to Nazareth. Because this is the crowd in front of Jesus gets really uncomfortable. We saw the first part of this text last week. Jesus comes, unrolls the scroll of Isaiah, the scroll that to announce the Messiah's presence to the people. The Spirit of the Lord has anointed me. And he has come to bring the acceptable year of the Lord. And last week, remember, I asked the question, to whom? And today, in the words of Paul Harvey, we get the rest of the story. At first, the crowd says, he spoke well. We like the words. The Messiah is on the scene. He is our boy. Everything is great. And then a transition occurs. And we might ask ourselves, why does the crowd come from hailing him to trying hurling him? And it revolves, I think, around this question. Isn't he Joseph's son? And we might think that that is a question of doubt. That the crowd is saying, I don't know about this guy. We've heard that he's done some great miracles in Capernaum. Why doesn't he do those miracles first here? And if he is a miracle worker, then we will believe. But I don't think that's what's going on here, friends. I think the question is not of doubt. We all knew he's done miracles over there. problem is, he hasn't done the miracles here. He is, after all, our son. He is Joseph's boy. It is our hometown. Show us the goods. Bring the good things here first. And underneath that, of course, is that old temptation. Is when we have all the goods, then we get to dole them out carefully to those whom we think deserve it. And this is where Jesus gets everybody uncomfortable. In step Elijah and Elisha, the two prophets from the Old Testament that look most like Jesus, capable of doing great powers and miracles and raising the dead. And Elijah, also the hometown hero, kicked out of his hometown, goes to the widow of Zarephath in Sidon. And I know everyone says, where is Sidon? Well, I'll tell you, it's not in Israel. She is the outsider. Not only is she fed, but her son is raised from the dead by Elijah. And if that's not troubling enough, then we get Naaman the Syrian. He is the general of the army oppressing the nation. And I know there's a clicking going on. I'm not too sure what that is about. Is that better?
Yes.
Okay. Just have to speak up now. I'm trying to say it's coming back.
Yes.
Might be something in your pocket.
Naaman the Syrian. He's the enemy of the nation. That would be like Jesus saying, the grace of God is on those Roman generals. Those Romans, those people oppressing the people. God's grace is also there. And you see, that's the point. When he is taken out of town to be hurled off. And the point is simply that God's grace and love and mercy is not the possession of any one person, but it is to be poured out for the whole world. It's a symbol, my friends, of the whole story of the gospel. Jesus comes to bring God's grace and mercy that is rejected, and Christ is taken out to die for us. The love of God poured out for the world in the person and work of Jesus Christ. And we might ask, is grace and mercy really the route? And our story says, yes, it is. Because love defeats evil, not by power and might, but by love, by submission, by being the victim for dying for us. And it is this that has changed the cosmic nature of the world. It is this that has caused the death, that victory over sin and death. And so, my friends, love wins. Love wins. And I'm going to shamelessly plug our book club right now, because it happens to be we're reading a book this month called Love Wins. I invite you all, if you wish to pursue these themes deeper, to read the book, come to the discussion. Don't read the book, come to the discussion. Read the book, or any option you want there. But our conviction as people of faith is that love wins. That's what our faith, our hope, and our trust is. That the love of God, is what pierces the darkness of night. And it's this love that Paul is speaking about. And I know I was tempted to preach just on Corinthians because it's one of the only times I get it not at a wedding, right? But it's not a wedding text, my friends. It's written to a church really, really divided and torn apart. And the church in Corinth, is the most documented ancient church we have. We have the biblical testimony, we have letters outside the Bible, and they never quite figured it out. And remember last week, we were in this discussion about gifts and what gift is better, and the church is arguing over who's the greatest, who had the best gifts, whose gifts are more special than the other. And Paul ends that passage by saying, but seek the better gift. And the better gift is love. And love is our story here, of Christ who has come for us, come for all of us, and invites us all in to be the body of Christ. And so we have a table and we have a meal where we are all invited into this miracle, into this mystery. That you are invited to be a part of the body of Christ. We'll quite literally take the body of Christ and eat the body of Christ, becoming the body of Christ. But friends, this is not our table. It does not belong to us. It doesn't even belong to the Lutheran Church. It belongs to God. And it is offered to everyone. To those far off, to those near, to those we dislike, to those we love. All it takes you to come and receive what God is offering here. Because love wins. Amen.
All voice clear.
With the Spirit of Christ shining upon us, let us boldly pray for the church, the world, and all of creation. God of eternal wisdom, we pray for your church, which is being transformed by your word. Bless the church with your wisdom and guidance. Let us notice and take part in the new thing you are doing. God of grace,
hear our prayer.
Your creation sustains us and all living creatures. Grant us humility to acknowledge the ways we bring harm to the earth. Grant us courage to make effective change so that all lands and living things prosper. God of grace,
hear our prayer.
Embolden leaders of nations, corporations, and all in authority that they lovingly tend those in their charge. Help them to respond to all who cry out in need. God of grace,
hear our prayer.
Provide for those whose hunger runs deep due to isolation, loneliness, or illness, especially Joe, Fran, Eric, Carol, Misty, Melissa, Annetta, George, Vince, Dietmar, Michael, Marty, David, Victor, Bryn, Brandy, Dan, Gary, Julie, Sandra, California fires, victims of the war around the world and national world disasters. Send your spirit so that all are filled with your presence and experience welcome from their communities. God of grace,
hear our prayer.
We pray for the young people in our congregations. May their voices be celebrated. Give youth a place of honor and value among us. God of grace,
hear our prayer.
We remember those who have gone before us. Let their faithful example continue to bear witness to us all. God of grace,
hear our prayer.
We entrust our prayers to you, O God, in the sure and certain hope that your promise is revealed among the people.
Amen.
Well, I have a quick insert into our bulletin. We would like us to give our quilts to the Azils. So I'm asking for a blessing amongst us. So if we can all just hold out our hands in the blessing of a quilt to the Haley Azil. Our gracious
Helen.
And
Helen.
Holly, thank
Helen.
You.
Helen.
Holly.
Helen.
Holly.
Helen.
Helen. Sorry.
Wrong sister.
Dear gracious God, we ask that you bless this quilt as a sign of the love of this community and for future blessings and wholeness. Amen. Thank you. And now, my friends, may the peace of Christ be with you all.
And also with you. I
invite you now to share the peace of Christ with those around you.
Thank you.
I invite us now to come back together and please stand for our offering. Heavens and your abundance to the depths of the sea. Bless what we offer to your service, our gifts, our abilities, and our hearts. Let us overflow with gratitude and generosity now and always.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord. Our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God. Through our Savior, Jesus Christ. By the leading of a star, he was shown forth to all nations. In the waters of the Jordan, you proclaimed him your beloved Son. And in the miracle of water turned into wine, he revealed your glory. And so, with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn.
Holy, holy, holy.
Declares your praise beyond the stars, beneath the sea, within each cell, with every breath.
We praise you, O God.
Generations bless your faithfulness through the water, by night and day, across the wilderness, out of exile, into the future.
We bless you, O God.
We give thanks for your dear Son at the heart of human life, near to those who suffer, beside the sinner, among the poor, with us now.
We thank you, O God.
In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread and gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body, given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." And again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Remembering his love for us on the way, at the table, and to the end, we proclaim the mystery of faith.
Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again.
We pray for the gift of your Spirit in our gathering, within this meal, among your people, throughout the world. Blessing, praise, and thanks to you, Holy God, through Christ Jesus, by your Spirit, in your church, without end.
Amen. Amen.
Gathered into one by the Holy Spirit, let us pray as Jesus taught us.
Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial. Deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, and the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
You may be seated. Friends, this is the table of God for all the people. And all are welcome to come forward at this table. In a moment, the ushers will come in. We ask that you fill from right to left. You may receive communion standing or kneeling. Just extend your hand, and the item will be placed in your hand. And then reach in and either take the dark red glass, which is wine, or the clear liquid, which is grape juice. If you wish to only come for a blessing, come with your arms crossed. But no, this is God's table for all, and all are welcome. Amen.
Amen.
By your body broken for us, by your wine. Grant us peace, O Lord.
body and blood of our Lord and Savior, keep us in grace.
Amen.
Amen.
Let us pray. Nourishing God, at this table you have refreshed us with holy gifts of food and drink. Strengthen us for service and send us out to embody your good news of liberation and healing for the sake of the world. In the name of Christ, we pray.
Amen.
Friends, we're just going to pause momentarily for some announcements. And I got a big long list, so I'm sure I'm going to forget something. But to start off, we have Sally to make an announcement. So we invite her up.
Become very props. So it's time for Bejeweled again. For those of you who don't know about Bejeweled, Food Share of Lincoln County is our local big warehouse for the Oregon Food Bank. And they give out food to the many food pantries, to us for our annual stone, or our monthly stone soup meal, and to other congregations when they make the stone soup meal, and many other places. And they rely on funding from donations to a great deal. So every year they have a fundraiser called Bejeweled, where they sell used jewelry, buttons, broken jewelry, jewelry boxes, watches, etc. And every year we have, for quite a few years, put out a basket, which we are again this year, will be in the back corner of the narthex next to the barrel. And we're going to be collecting whatever you don't want anymore through February and March. And this is a great chance to clean out things that you don't want and then go to Bejeweled on May 10th and buy all new things. That's what I mean. Anyway, it's a great fundraiser. Yeah. They started out years ago being so excited to make maybe $3,000 or $4,000. Now they have an eBay site and they sell at two consignment antique stores as well as their event, and they earn about $30,000 a year from Bejeweled. And that buys a lot of food, but it's dependent on them having jewelry to sell. So this will be out there for the next 2 months. Thanks.
And our blood drive on Friday went really well here, so we thank the Red Cross for their, and thank everyone who participated in there. And coming up, we just want to remind people to look at your words of the week in the center of our bulletin to see what is going on for the next week. But we want to highlight that our evening, Wednesday evening meal and holding evening for the month of February will be coming up third Wednesday of the month. We got the sign-ups up, so please think about participating on that. And this will be our lead into Lent, because then after that, next month, we're into Lent. And then we will be looking for some conversations on whether to continue or not to continue that Wednesday evening. So those sign-ups are there. Please participate, and we'll have a great time. And with all that being said, and everything that I'm forgetting to say, let's pause now for our blessing. The Spirit of the Triune God bless you with joy, anoint you with compassion, and send you in love.
Amen. Amen.
Work our hands working together, building a future.